Nine a day.
She's out of the country. She's attending basic education and Mr. Gonzo. And the last one is from over to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I just wanted to introduce all of us. With me, I'm Lula Manare. I'm the Chairperson of the Commission. I'm with Commissioner Mgoti. He is a cap in Western Cape, but is deployed in the Northern Cape. We have our HODs for research and legal. If we want to talk about complaints today, we have the person who must answer them, all those complaints, Marissa and Dr. Rafi. And we also have our CEO, Keke Tomayama. And we have Kamraj, who is our parliamentary liaison. And we have our also parliamentary liaison, Ngobeni. Today we're going to be presenting two reports on the mining sector. We have done investigative work into the mining sector. Our presentation will be on that gender mainstreaming as the process of assessing the implications for men and women in any planned action, including legislation, policies, and programs. I don't want to take away from the presentation itself. I'm just going to just give us a sense of the presentations themselves. We're going to be talking mining today. And again, we all know this is a male-dominated workplace. And we're looking at the barriers that women workers in mining face. And therefore, we'll start with the presentation, but we will engage, we will leave a little bit more on our engagement process. So we are presenting our findings on the work that we have done in the mining. So we're going to start with Marissa, our legal HOD. And after that, we will have our research report. Then we will come back. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members, Honourable Chairperson. In the financial year 2016-17, CGE embarked on a systemic investigation into the mining sector to determine key challenges that the sector continues to battle with to transform. The investigation was sparked by various challenges that women still face today in the mining industry, which include that historically the mining sector was male-dominated and often a major barrier for women. For instance, company executives usually will arrange golf days to solicit more business, and that is not necessarily a game that females will take part in. This kind of informal networks are then created by male-dominated management boards and tend to exclude women, which stifle their career growth opportunities. According to Women in Mining in South Africa, for a woman to enter a more senior level in a mining company, she really has to prove herself. That has to be done over and over on each project that she tackles. She has to be a cut above the males to apply for a similar position. Another challenge is the inflexible working environment of mining companies. For example, the long hours that they work and shifts. It tends to conflict with the women's life and work balance, as many of them have families to take care of. In addition, there's a lack of mentors or support for women in the industry, which also poses a major challenge. Women in Mining South Africa therefore encourages female employees in mining to join their networks so that they can register with mentors to support them. reports that was brought out by the Benchmark Foundation as well as the CGE's own research department noted the failure by mining companies to comply with the commitments in the mining charter. An example of this is the provision of standard housing and living conditions for mine workers. The CGE's interest in the mining companies was further exacerbated by the employment equity hearings and further by the oversight visit by the Portfolio Committee at Limpopo, which took place in 2013. During that visit, it was unearthed that women and persons with disability representation remained a critical challenge in the mining companies. And I remember back then, Foskor and Palaborwa mining was visited. It was further evidence that the mining companies have not attempted to develop innovative measures to address underrepresentation. The company submitted that women and persons with disabilities are largely not keen to work in the mining industry. CGE observed that issues of employment equity were largely seen as a human resource competency that the company did not prioritize properly. The oversight visit by the Portfolio Committee during 2015 further accentuated the need for the mining company, back then it was a month old, to transform in terms of race and gender. It was observed that the company is male dominated and there were no female representation at senior management positions. Persons with disabilities were not a key focus area for the company. It was found that the company had no representation of persons with disability at the middle and senior management. Infrastructure was also not accommodating for people with disabilities. It's from the above premise that CGE then resolved to conduct a systemic investigation into the mining sector regarding compliance in terms of gender and related policies and implementation thereof. The legal framework that was followed is, first off, the Constitution of South Africa, which promotes equality in the workplace, and since 1994, South Africa has worked at an international and domestic level to eliminate discrimination on the basis of race, gender, sex, sexual orientation, age, religious orientation, and disability. Many international instruments have been ratified by South Africa in this regard. The other legislation that formed our framework was the CGE Act as amended, which was firstly promulgated under the interim constitution. Yeah, now in terms of section 11.1e together with section 12 of the Act, CGE is mandated to investigate any gender related issues on its own accord or on receipt of a complaint, and we then endeavour to resolve same. This procedure was followed and the investigation ensued out of own accord. CEDAW, in terms of Article 11 of CEDAW, the government is obliged to take all appropriate measures to eliminate discrimination against women in the field of employment. Specific benchmarks set out in CEDAW include the right of men and women to choose their profession freely, promotion, job security, equal benefits and conditions of service, to receive vocational training, equal remuneration for equal work, equal access to social security in cases of retirement, unemployment, sickness, old age and paid leave. The ILO Convention 1001, it obliges the state to promote equal remuneration for men and women to work of equal value. This convention was ratified by South Africa in 2000. The Employment Equity Act, as amended, this legislation provides for an affirmation of historical disadvantaged people, namely women, people with disabilities, and black people in the workplace. Basic Conditions of Employment Act, it provides for the basic conditions that must be applied equally to all persons in the workplace. Mm-hmm. The Labour Relations Act, this is the seminal piece of legislation promulgated soon after the democracy, which seeks to regulate the unequal relationship between the employer and the employee. The Broad-Based Economic Empowerment Act, 2003, is designed to advance previously disadvantaged groups, including women's economic participation in the workplace. BAPUDA, this law prohibits gender discrimination and provides remedies designed to protect anyone who experiences discrimination across the full spectrum of society, including gender-based discrimination in the workplace. The Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act, this act states that 10% female representation in mining occupations as well as female ownership of mining rights is a must.
Our objectives of the investigation, the CGE supported beaten work, but still considered it appropriate that this concept be extended to embrace decent conditions of work and opportunities that will also promote gender equality within the mining sector. And CGE then identified the following objectives: to ascertain the vulnerability and risk experienced by women in the mining sector, to ascertain the general level of non-compliance by employers with obligations following out of specific provisions of labour legislation, aimed at promoting equality or affirming the rights of women in the mining sector, to ascertain why employers fail or neglect to comply with the obligations aimed at promoting gender equality in the workplace, to ascertain the needs of women in the mining sector which requires affirmation, to identify relevant gender equality provisions in international instruments which have not been mainstreamed into existing and proposed labour legislation, to collate reasonable expectations on labour legislation which will address the concerns of women, to assist in the nature of amendments that should be proposed in respect of the current reform that exists within the labour legislation, to identify shortcomings in the mining sector which impede on gender transformation, and then also propose remedial measures to make relevant recommendations to the relevant institutions to enforce compliance with employment equity. The rationale for conducting the investigation. In terms of our procedure, any investigation is done in terms of section 10 to 18 of the CGE Act as it's amended, and is regulated in terms of the procedure set up that is read in conjunction with our Gazette Complaints Manual. All persons, including commissioners and officials of the CGE, as well as mining companies and individuals subject to the investigation, inclusive of any other person or organisation which has been appointed to assist or participate in an investigation, were subjected to the procedures therein. A questionnaire was sent to two mining houses requesting written responses from them. Both mining houses responded to the questionnaire. We picked Glencore and De Beers. Now, Glencore Operations South Africa, which is a coal division, provided responses for three of their mining complex operations, namely Tweefontein Complex, Goedgevonden Complex, and Impunzi Complex, and De Beers responded as a single institution. The Commission then analyzed the written responses submitted to determine whether the mining houses are complying with the mining charter requirements of transformation and the legal framework of South Africa. After the analysis and of the initial responses, the Commission then requested further information from the two mining companies for clarity. Upon receipt of the further information, we were then in a position to make findings and recommendations. Our findings in terms of our specific investigation was the following. There's minimal representation of Indians, coloured males and females at all levels. There's a vast representation of previously disadvantaged groups at the lower non-decision-making levels of management in both the two companies. The mining companies do have programs to transition the previously disadvantaged groups into senior and decision-making levels of the company, but what is lacking is the promotion of the previously disadvantaged groups to more senior levels within the mining sector. Glencore submitted that the major contributors to the lack of progression are the low turnover level, particularly at senior management level, and the economic conditions which have resulted in the restructuring activities, which in turn resulted in available vacant positions being filled with people who were not necessarily impacting gender transformation positively as a measure to avoid job losses. Although the companies meet the mining charter targets, there is an underrepresentation of women and the historically disadvantaged groups, which dominate the lower management levels in the mining companies. The companies have not progressed in terms of establishing childcare facilities. The companies indicate that the environment is not conducive to the establishment of such facilities. And CGE recommended that it should be looked that childcare facilities be established within the communities and in the various mining communities and not necessarily on the premises of the mining facility. Women are not afforded equal opportunities to be in acting positions. It is noted that allowing females to act in available positions form part of transformation agencies to prepare women to take the roles in senior positions. There were a few cases of sexual harassment reported at the mining company. As found to be a red flag, sexual harassment policies need to be available to all employees and more workshops need to be conducted in order to increase the number of sexual harassment cases. One of the key aspects that makes employees not report the cases is the fear of victimization and uncertainty around reporting mechanisms in the country. If you look at your lower level staff members, they don't have access to intranet where these policies are necessarily published. The companies have the potential to ensure that transformation materializes in the workplace. It's evident from the budget set aside for study assistance and bursary programs for female employees. The companies have good staff retention, but policies need to be established. The recommendations that were made. The companies need to take more initiatives to recruit persons with disabilities, for example by headhunting and engaging with organizations dealing with such people and university graduates. It appears that the companies are not instituting sufficient initiatives to address this poor representation. And as much as the Mine Health and Safety Act is cited, consideration has to be given to the Employment Equity Act that also requires companies to employ people with disabilities. The mining sector needs to develop mechanisms to attract more females and people with disabilities into the industry and develop retention mechanisms to keep such people in the mining sector. The Commission should be invited to conduct awareness workshops around issues of gender equality and sexual harassment. It's imperative that the companies draw lessons from other mining companies that have facilities that are not within the vicinity of the mine directly. The measures will ensure that the fears raised by female employees are addressed. Recruitment policies should specifically state that people with disabilities are targeted. Female employees should be prioritized in active positions. The company needs to increase the representation of Indian and colored women. A staff retention policy needs to be established. The mining houses are to provide a detailed plan, which plan should include short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals of how the mine will address the identified findings and implement the recommendations of this report. This plan is to be provided by 31 March, which is now left. The plans were provided to the CGE. And they speak to information that was sought by CGE. The mining companies have reviewed the employment equity plan. This is now some of the implemented recommendations to date after we issued this report. The companies have reviewed the employment equity plans, but the plans are awaiting the implementation of the new mining charter. Acting opportunities have been awarded to women where it's practicable, and a woman candidate is available to act. Glencore indicated an increase from 17.6% of opportunities awarded to women in middle management to 28% in a period of less than 12 months. The companies noted an increase of women appointees in available positions. Companies are looking at redrafting their disability policies and looking at other available positions where the companies can employ people with disabilities. The mining companies have relooked their sexual harassment policies where CGE provided assistance to, and we are finalised the process of conducting sexual harassment workshops with specific reference to Glencore mining. And then some of the recommendations that were made by CGE were given an end date of end of November for full implementation by the company. So after the due date, we will then follow up on the further implementation of the last recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chairperson? Honorable Chair? Thank you very much. Honorable Suspect? I just also wanted to take the honorable members through to your sustainable development, that our new adopted sustainable development 11 and 12, they speak to the issues why, just on top of why we needed bengibonisa nje ukuthi ikhona imigomo nemithetho a koyo up in Zanzi, a protector or mama, good mining, a creator amatuba, ukusebenza, good mining, kodwa up in South Africa, in mining company, as if one could comply and meet her. So, Utani will let you go into the Gago Shuguti. Mining companies are not really complying. No good by shop or mama. Kulu la Pokufulagi is a corner corner. Abantu Abamyama Basakeli Ku Mazinga, Asazant Angen Angapazi Ukwenza is the women are not in the decision making structure. African people are not in the decision making structure. But Nikiwe is a much warm feeling, Otto, and Asazan, Abana Power. So, see a Glencoe, Sayanakulu DPS. Glencoe is coal, DPS is your diamond mining. I know that mining is divided into, you know, platinum belt and all those. So, and also honorable members, when you went to Limpopo, you also made some observations. So, yonke le research PM leyo sababiza bazo appear in front of the gender commission was also incediswe nakakhulu with what you saw ngoko beliye eLimpopo. So, we are presenting to you that things are not well. Our women workers are not taken care of, and we are also wanting to say that I know that there was a big discussion after Marikana, but we all know in Dubana, even before Marikana, in mining companies, bezi fanele ukuthi zakhele abantu indawo zokuhlala zibakhonekthe kunye ne-communities lapho bakhoyo, but the mining companies have been slow to build a sustainable, safe human settlement around the mining area. So we are also mindful of that. So that is our first report, just to give you a sense of the employment equity in the workplace. So here we're talking about women and the economy, especially the conditions omama abangama okanye amakhosikazi abasebenza under, that we are worried and we are raising a red flag around this. We're moving on to our next presentation, which is now, because lena besibabizile ngokomthetho, umthetho uyavumela ukuthi that we can call them to appear in front of the commission for them to answer questions, and this were our findings. And then our research goes deeper than what we call them. It goes into the buildings, it asks different questions, and more comprehensively the responses to complement what we do in. So, I don't know, Honorable Chair, do you want us to continue or
continue?
We continue. Because we are not the final.
I'm going to go back to the house.
futhamazulu sengangibona hambayo unelizo msayolandela ukuthi kwenzeke kanjani namhlanje kodwa ke singaqhubeka siyabonga
mhlawumbe mama we just add that our women workers are exposed to high volumes of sexual harassment. Upata pata. But we've also been aware, we're made aware by the union NUM. The officials have also made us aware that rape, even for men underground, it's like once you are busy working, somebody can just get inside you. Whilst you are working and it's rampant. So upatapatwa omama kwe mining no kuzwengulwa kwe mining omama namadoda bathi bayazwengula bemile besebenza umuntu akungene ngasemuva or enze loo nto afuna uyenza ku. So it's chilling how rampant rape is in our country and sexism is deeply ingrained. So then Fulanje is aware that we have also found that through our legal hearings bangaba imithetho nemigomo ezama ukukhusela indlela esetshenziswa ngayo ngabomama in terms of ukuphathaphatha ne-rape. Ii-companies that have appeared in front of us, even government departments, they are not really strong on showing us bangaba committed kwimithetho yokungaphathaphathwa kwabafazi. They have not shown us that they are the tone against sexual harassment is strong in the companies, even in government departments. We have not seen like clear policies. Sometimes they ignore the policies. The last time they ratify a policy will be 2013 and we are in 2017, or it will be 2012. So we are concerned. I think the Gender Commission is going to raise it quite furiously that our constitution is on non-sexism, but we see that policies, government departments, the private sector, sexual harassment is not taken seriously. Even if policies are, they are not taking them seriously. And rape inside the offices. I know that we have a case in the Eastern Cape, local government, provincial government. There was a sex for job scandal, and there is proof there are children that were made by this MPL. Amongst the staff members, you know, getting somebody who's pregnant, a bit pregnant because of sexual harassment and rape in the workplace. And this woman has to hide that this child is not your child, it's my boss's child. And it happened in the Eastern Cape. That's proof that this thing is unabated and it is allowed to go on. So I just wanted to raise that even for us, the people who have been appearing in front of us, it seems to be that we have concerns even with them. Let me ask the police of Patapata, they're not taking them seriously. Even the universities, we take them to task, but where is your policy? What do you really do? How many cases? Do you think that your e-company is tolerant to sexual advances, sexual harassment or rape in the workplace? What are you doing? So I just wanted to flag that also, that even in mining we have found the same thing, that Mikomo and Miteto is not really strong. So we go to our next presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to honourable members. This is the first in a series of research reports that we have produced in the mining sector. We started in the 2015-16 financial year. We went on to do another one the following year, and we are busy with another study in the mining sector. And as I said, this is the first one. I'm going to just, these are just the slides that will, the content of the presentation. in a nutshell, we just introduced the study, look at how we did it, and the two companies that we focused on is African Rainbow Minerals, ARM, and Anglo-American. These are the first two companies we did, and under each company we looked at three subsidiaries. African Rainbow Minerals, we looked at the company itself, headquarters, so corporate head office, which is based in Johannesburg, Sandton, and then we looked at their Kumani iron ore mine, we looked at Two Rivers Platinum Mine and Komati Mine. These are the three subsidiaries under African Rainbow Minerals that we looked at. Anglo-American Mining House, we looked at corporate head office, Kumba Iron Ore, Anglo Platinum and Anglo Coal Mine, and then we look at the recommendations and what has happened after the project. By way of introduction, I've already said that we did this study in the first in the series, and we also learned as we were doing this project. We wanted to look at what it is the mining companies are doing. As our chair said, the mine, and Marisa also, the mining sector is a traditionally male-dominated economic activity. We went there fully aware of this. What we wanted to do was just to understand what it is they are doing. Are they aware of a raft of legislation and policies that have come into place since 1994? And what it is they are doing to take this into account? And it looks like some of these policies have just gone past, I mean, years have gone past without the mining sector noticing some of these policies, or at least they are ignoring them. According to the UN Economic and Social Council, they define gender mainstreaming as the process of assessing the implications for men and women in any planned action or including legislation, policy, programs at all levels of the economy, including the mining sector itself, the extractive sector that includes mining. So all the policies and programs, activities, what their implications are for both men and women. By way of background, the study was carried out in line with some of the policy frameworks that govern the work of the CGE that we look at for promoting gender equality and transformation. Some of these, Marisa's presentation has already touched on these. CEDAW, the Beijing Platform of Action, some of these are international platforms or international instruments that the country has signed up to. These are just some of the examples, as well as the Commission on the Status of Women, the CSW, which advocates for equal representation of women in decision making. So there are global instruments and protocols that the country has signed up to, as well as our own domestic pieces of legislation, policy frameworks, strategies, also intended to promote gender equality. Marisa also identified some of these, so I'll just skip through them, like the Labor Relations Act, basic conditions of employment. These are some of the key familiar pieces of legislation that contain provisions guaranteeing the rights of equality for men and women. As a whole raft of them. But despite these, despite all these pieces of legislation, and some of them have been around for a long time, since 2000, even the National Gender Policy Framework has been around for since 2000. But some of the mining companies were not aware of these pieces of legislation. Some of them were not familiar with them, some of them were familiar but didn't do anything about them. And as we did our study, these are some of the challenges in broad terms, some of the challenges that we discovered. That the presence of women or entrance of women into the mining sector, especially underground, remains very limited. As part of the study, the CGE research team actually went to some of these mining. In some cases, we went underground. We just to see for ourselves the conditions that prevail. So we visited some of these companies in addition as part of the process of gathering information. We physically went, we conducted observations, we watched. In some cases, some of our researchers witnessed as the mining process was going underground. We saw how some of the heavy equipment that were being used underground, just to get a sense of conditions under which mining employees operated. And some of these conditions were extremely challenging, extremely difficult. And we could understand how the environment is seen as a physically demanding, male-oriented environment that sometimes excluded women. The culture and the practices, the workforces were such that mining companies did not want to modify or change some of these practices. They remain extremely difficult for, in some cases, to allow women to operate. And it is possible for them to be changed, but some mining companies felt comfortable allowing things to continue as they did. Women still face practical challenges and safety issues on a daily basis. Verbal abuse, sexual abuse, there are comments that are made underground by men towards women. Some of the comments imply that you're a woman, you shouldn't be under here. You know, those kinds of male attitudes, chauvinistic attitudes underground prevail under there, unchecked, unwitnessed. So women have to face these kinds of remarks and comments and snide references underground by males, and mining management usually do not do anything to change this. These are organizational cultural practices that persist, and nothing has been done to change them. Women are pressurized in some cases to offer sexual favors. As I said, some of the jobs underground are extremely demanding, and in some cases when women are unable to do them, to carry them out, the sheer physical force that's needed, in some cases men offer to help women in return for sexual favors. It happens underground. And those women who refuse these advances are usually vilified, they are usually subjected to ongoing sexual harassment that remains unreported to senior management. In some cases, women avoid reporting these because it's frowned upon, or they might be seen as uncollegiate employees underground. The protective personnel here, this is something we looked at very carefully, the uniforms, the overalls that women wear. We found that in many companies, these are male uniforms. Women are forced to wear these uniforms, and they are not made to fit women. They become uncomfortable or extremely unusable for women. And in some cases, mining companies will tell us that we are looking into it. But in many cases, the process of looking into it has been ongoing for years. Nothing is changing, no pressure to complete the process. So women are forced to use uniforms that are meant for men. As I said, we also, as we went downstairs, underground, we were looking for facilities to see whether some of these facilities for women, separate toilets, whether they existed, and in most cases they didn't. Women had to share toilets with men, and that created risks, increased risks for them of sexual harassment and even rape in many cases. Now the way we did, I've already touched on this, the way we did this, we went and spoke to senior management, we spoke to unions. In most cases we interviewed senior union leaders, we spoke to senior management, we spoke to employees, we went underground and witnessed some of the processes as they were unfolding, just to get a sense of the atmosphere that prevails underground. This is the companies that we looked at, the two companies and their subsidiaries. To this, what we did, we developed this gender representation rating scale. This is just some of the things we looked at. We looked at the representation, the numerical part of gender equality. We looked at gender equality from two points. Numerical as well as substantive gender equality. This looks purely at the numbers. Women represented in senior management levels of the mining companies, and we develop 5 levels. The first level, level number 1, right at the bottom. This is where we look if the companies, institutions, or senior management levels is exclusively one gender, let's say exclusively male or exclusively women and female and no balance, then we rated the company as level 1, failed gender representation. Level 2, that's where the minority gender, the for instance, if there are women, we look at how many, what percentage of the senior management women constitute. And if the percentage is 15%, between 1 and 15%, we regard it as symbolic token representation. Level 3, where the minority gender makes up to 15% to 30%, we regard that as progressive gender representation. Level 4, that's where one gender, the minority gender, constitutes 30 to 45%. We call that critical mass gender representation. And level 5, this is the highest, where the male and female representation, or a male and female, is between 45 and 50%. That's almost gender parity. So we developed those 5 levels and used it to use that scale to rate the companies that we looked at. So we relied on them providing a lot of information on their staff representation at senior management level. As members know, the mining charter at the moment gives a target of 10%. So we were hoping that some companies would have gone past. After nearly 3 years of legislation, we thought that many of them would have passed. The 10% target is very easy. Many of them should have been able to pass. Besides the numerical representation, we also looked at substantive equality, especially these themes. We looked at besides gender representation, numerical representation, we looked at mainstreaming gender in the organizational culture. What is it the companies did to change the culture, a male-oriented culture, a male chauvinistic-oriented culture that minimized or at least frowned upon the presence of women. We looked at also measures to create an enabling environment. Basically, here we are looking at policies. What kind of policies are in place? Besides the government's own policies like Employment Equity Act and so on and so on, have companies develop their own internal policies to promote gender equality? Things like sexual harassment policies relating to succession planning, policies relating to promotion, awareness raising, and so on and so on, whether companies have done that, or many of them decided to take a minimalistic approach and rely on purely on what national government policies say, and nothing, you know, never tried anything more than that. The first company, African Rainbow Minerals, just what in terms of the representation of women at senior management level. I'm going to try and speed up presentation. In terms of the first category, the first theme, representation, numerical representation, we rated them at 3, progressive gender representation, because we found that at the senior level, a total of 26 members, only 7 of them were women. These are senior level structures at ARM. This is corporate head office. Out of 14 members comprising the board, only 2 were women. So the board of ARM, with 14 members, only 2 of them were women. So it was a male-dominated senior level leadership of the organization. We rated them at 3. This is corporate head office. In terms of what they've done to promote a culture, to change organizational practices and culture and systems, we found also minimal action. I mean, this is common across all companies, just as a broad point. These are some of the things they told us that they were doing, and we found that they were very limited. ARM told us they introduced a leadership development program. To empower and strengthen leadership capacity, although we find that this is not necessarily targeting women. So in most cases, they would tell us that this is what we are doing. But when you look at the program carefully, you find that it's not necessarily intended to empower women. It's just a general program that happens to cater for anyone who's available or who has been identified. So no clear strategy to prioritize women empowerment. They also said they are collaborating with the business school, with business school in a future leaders development program. But also the program was necessary. Once again, the program did not prioritize women empowerment. So it was just a gender neutral program, if I put it that way. We also found that there were no written gender policy. Well, the company did not have a gender policy document. What we were looking for in terms of internal measures to create gender mainstream, or at least to create an environment conducive to gender mainstreaming. The company does have a transformation unit in place. Just as a general point, many of the mining companies did have a transformation unit. Not gender transformation unit, the transformation unit. When we examined it, what is it about? It tended to be unfocused, it tended to not have any set of objectives, and in some cases, we felt that these transformation units in mining companies were intended to act as a shock absorber for people who want change. They also had, I mean, what I'm saying is that some of these structures were intended to act as a freezing mechanism for people demanding change. Women who demanded change, they created a structure called Women in Mining Forum. When we looked at that, those structures were weak, did not have the power to influence decision-making processes, and most of their, what comes out, whatever resolutions, could be ignored by senior management. So there are all kinds of internal structures called either Women in Mining or Transformation Unit. At the end of the day, they lack the necessary resources and power to make change. And we found that also to be the case at ARF. The Akumane Iron Ore Mining subsidiary, we found that the company was exclusively male at leadership level, 10 senior management members without any women involved, and we rated it at 1, basically failed representation. They really did not make any effort. In terms of internal organizing processes to change the culture, internal culture of the organization, not much evidence of gender mainstreaming. Even some of the programs they informed us about as intended for gender mainstreaming, we found that they were not necessarily intended for that purpose. So this was a pattern that we found in many organizations, in many of their subsidiaries. Two Rivers Platinum Mine, same thing, we rated it at level 1 in terms of senior. So as the members will see, the head office, in terms of our rating scale, the head office tended to do much better. They tended to rate much better. As you said, the ARM head office rated at 3 in terms of our scale, but its subsidiaries were rated at 1 or 2. So it looks like corporate head office did not do much to lead their subsidiaries to follow them in terms of what needs to be done. And we found that to be the case with Anglo-American. Head office seems to be doing much better than their subsidiaries, which for us meant that the leadership at corporate head office level did not do much to cascade some of these policies downwards to their subsidiaries. So as I said, ARM's Two Rivers Platinum Mine, same thing, not a lot of effort to create gender representation at senior management level. not much effort in terms of creating an organizational culture and system that enable gender mainstreaming, and in terms of measures to create an enabling environment, measures such as internal policies, organizational practices, and so on and so on, we found very limited evidence. In some cases, they mentioned the government employment equity policies or reports that are required to be submitted to the Employment Equity Commission, but in some cases, that's just it, nothing else. So the level of effort by these companies was very limited, and it doesn't come as a surprise to us that the mining sector remains a male-dominated sphere of economic activity, because we don't believe that leadership in some of these entities are convinced that they need to embrace gender equality and gender mainstream. The first thing is the same here in terms of Nkomati Nickel Mine, ARM subsidiary. We also found that the senior level is male dominated. 7 out of the 8 positions were occupied by males, and we rated it at level 2, which is very, very low in terms of our scale. And mainstreaming gender in the organization and its culture, to change the culture of the organization, they insisted that they were compliant with the Employment Equity Code of good conduct, but as a commission we needed something more than that. They did mention the employment that they complied with the BDEE scorecard, the mining charter. Well, they just barely managed to beat the mining charter tag. And as I said, after 20 years or 22 years, we expected them to be way past that target. Many of them just managed to scrape through the current target of 10%. The Nkomati mine, they did tell us that they had a written gender mainstreaming policy. They had a sexual harassment policy, but it relies on disciplinary procedures and code to deal with issues of sexual misconduct. So many of these, in our view, were very limited efforts or extremely reluctant efforts to barely comply with existing national legislation, never mind going the extra mile to do what they needed to do internally. Anglo-American, the second company we dealt with, as members can see there, the company was rated level 4. They actually did much better than ARM in terms of women's representation at senior management level. We found the senior management structure consisted of 225 members, and 30.66% of them were women. So we rated them pretty well. We believe they were doing well at head office. I'll try and skip some of the slides. So at head office, basically, just to summarize, we felt that they had Anglo-American was doing pretty well, even though the level of awareness of some of these policies was very limited. So we believe that due to longevity, they've been around for a long time. So in some cases, they managed to do these things through sheer time existence. They had some policies, internal policies and measures, and they insisted that these were intended to promote gender equality, something like the leave policies, employment equity guidelines, sexual harassment and grievance policies. So they had some policies that we looked at. The Kumba Iron Ore Company, this is the first of their subsidiaries that we looked at. It was rated at 3, so it was also on the way. That's what we call progressive gender representation, level three. So, in general, as I said earlier, we founded Anglo-American and its subsidiaries in terms of our rating scales. They were doing much better than ARM, but they still had some way to go. They had a lot that they gave us in terms of information. The company told us that they were the responsibility to drive gender transformation was a responsibility for their senior management, and that employment equity targets were part of some of the senior management contractual obligations. But in most cases, they also refer to government legislation instead of going beyond that and internal promoting the process through their own internal processes and structures. Combined all, we also looked at the company, and we found that they did have policies that they kept them extreming. We found that they had some policies which were conducive, like sexual harassment policy, pregnancy policies. We looked at some of these policies, and they were on the right track. Anglo Platinum in Rustenburg rated number two, sorry, rated level two, because they also gave us the information that showed that women were present in their senior level structure, but it barely above the mining charter type. Anglo Coal also level two. So, as I said, just to sum up, the Anglo American and its subsidiaries, we found them to be slightly doing better in terms of ratings and some of the policies and internal programs and measures that they pursue to promote gender mainstreaming compared to ARM. But as a whole, in general, we felt that the mining companies were reluctant. They were doing much worse than we expected them after 22 years of democracy, and some of these pieces of legislation haven't been in place for a long time. So this is just a table that summarizes how these companies were doing in terms of representation of women. As the members can see, African Rainbow Minerals head office rated level 3, and then its subsidiaries one or two, nothing more than that. Anglo-American was rated rating at four, corporate office, and its subsidiaries two or three. So in general, what we were hoping by the comparison, ARM is a black-owned company, owned by Mr. Petrus Mutsepe. Anglo-American is a white-owned company. We were looking at both to see which one of these companies would be more willing to embrace some of these policies more than the other. When we found that Anglo-American has done better than ARM, we were expecting the opposite. But in general, both of them have a way to go. These are our recommendations. We recommended that the mining companies, and these recommendations were presented to the mining companies. We held what we call policy dialogues with senior management of these companies and presented our findings to them, and gave them the opportunity to engage with us, to tell us where we were wrong, if they felt that we were unfair to them. And in most cases, they agreed with us. They did not dispute our argument, our presentation. We recommended that all mining companies covered in our study should engage the services of competent, trained, and qualified gender transformation experts to provide advice to senior management on gender mainstreaming as a strategy to advance gender equality. Such trained gender transformation experts should articulate what gender mainstreaming means, because in most cases we found that these companies did not understand what gender mainstreaming meant or gender transformation. And we felt that engaging such experts would not only explain what it meant, but its benefits towards the strategic interests of the companies, as well as providing them with advice on best practices, how to do this, the strategies and practical approaches towards integrating gender mainstreaming company strategy plans. We also recommended an effective and sustainable process of introducing gender mainstreaming in the company, and that the necessary resources and sufficient time frames be provided to gain buy-in from all relevant internal stakeholders. The process should be led by and involve the direct participation of all senior managers, including relevant heads of divisions or departments, who should be equipped with the necessary skills, training, to manage gender transformation processes and to ensure its sustainability in the long term. We also recommended company-wide consultative workshops that involve all categories of employees at all levels to introduce them to gender mainstreaming as a constitutional, legislative, and strategic imperative. And this process should be led and supported by senior management with the involvement of all divisional heads and facilitated by an independent gender transformation expert. An internal consultative process led by senior management and facilitated by an external policy expert and involving all key stakeholders and staff should be initiated to draft a gender equality policy document which explains what gender equality is, its legislative and policy basis, and the need for integration of gender mainstreaming in broader corporate strategic objectives. This process should lead to a completed draft policy document on gender mainstreaming, and this policy, we felt, should be widely disseminated and understood by all employees. Since we've done this project, I've already said we undertook dialogues with some of the companies. Some of them invited us. Our legal department arranged with the legal department to take some of our findings and use them in their public hearing processes to demand accountability and call for presentations or submissions from these companies. We were also invited by the ARM. I think the ARM, to be honest, the ARM leadership were shocked to see our findings, and they took action actually they invited us to run a series of workshops with them. Our PEI department did present some awareness workshops with them, and they also set up a gender unit. They launched a gender unit during the Women's Month, during August, and I was invited to the event where the gender unit was launched. So it's a fairly new unit that had just been launched, and they admitted that they launched it due to our findings. And also, since then, they have done a review of their policies, and as I'm talking now, I have two drafts from them of their policies. They want me to go through these policies to see how gender-sensitive the policies are. So it looks like ARM is making efforts to respond to our findings. Thanks.
So, table two. Mm-hmm. We're done. From our side.
Not yet. Another board members. We've now had disturbance of a philosophical moment. I'm now going to give you a chance to close to this morning. We saw that the late clear traffic flow in both roads. But my question of weight is whether you have been able to discuss the issue of the difference between the weight system that goes by the women and their male counterparts. And also whether we have, as CGE, have you been able to make sure that active online with these issues that you are raising here in the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
I want to appreciate the presentation done by the CGE, but also to say that the mining industry is playing dumb. I'm not buying into the story of they were shocked about the final team. They basically don't care. So I don't think we must feel sympathetic towards them, but I don't get a clear program from yourself. What do you suggest that we should do? And when you were when you did this finding, at the end of the day, we need to find a compelling method of forcing them to do what the country is pushing everyone to do. But you as experts, you as ears and eyes of government must help us to find solution to those problems. Let's go to women on the ground, underground, that are taken there and that are being raped every day. Firstly, we agree the job that they give them is not appropriate for women. And they should have been removed as soon as we go out of that place. That should be the first solution. When you meet them, you sit down with them so that they know that you mean business. You were there to protect those who do not have a voice. And as an instrument to monitor and evaluate the companies and everybody who implements gender issues around the country. You should have got even the police to arrest the rapists and ensure that those women get proper jobs that are given by these men. The mine must commit that they give those women proper jobs, but on the ground, not underground. Firstly, the underground job is not appropriate for women. What I have been raising throughout that the issue of vulgarizing equality, where women find themselves digging the ground when they don't have the muscle to dig the ground. That's vulgarizing equality. And companies that ensure that women dig the ground with, what do you call them? Beginning examiner. You can take it as called
PX.
You're not ill. You can't allow women to dig the ground with that thing. If women have to dig the ground, there is machine that they can operate. They can get into a caterpillar, put just a finger on the dot of that machine to dig the ground and take out whatever, if they have to work in that position. You see? So alternative machinery can be applied where women are not going to use their muscle because their pelvis is not going to carry a child anymore. If they use any heavy machinery, their body cannot carry kids anymore. We can't put our women just because a system of apartheid ensured that women stay in poverty. We can't fight for women and now in under this democracy still pushing our women because of their poverty. It is the same companies that were supporting apartheid that made those women who they are today They were not allowed to go to school. They were pushing conditions of abject poverty. We can't continue to do the same thing. That is just immoral. Then the second thing that I also want to say about this company, the other one you were promoting there, I don't know, you wanted us to have a better situation. This was much, much better. I don't know, what is the proper word you use?
Progressive.
I wanted to use your vocabulary. You said what?
Progressive.
They were doing better than the others.
You're giving them points.
Yeah. None of them are doing bad. Firstly, you must say, who are these women? Are they white? Are they Indian? Are they colored? Are they African? What jobs are they doing? Is it cleaning? Is it becoming destroying? Where did it destroy me? Why did it destroy me? The secretaries, these secretaries that they have been employing throughout the year, secretaries giving them tea, typing, what they are not even developing these women to understand how the company even runs. Are they secretaries? And if they're secretaries, what do they really do? You must also analyze those secretaries. What do they really do? Because in these male-dominated fields, they even get secretaries that are male that do serious work in decision-making.
Mm.
You see? So you have all the apparatus, CGE, to ask those pertinent questions, because we want women to be in charge. And if it is white women that are only being hired there, being given the leverage so that they must say, these are women, it is also wrong. Women must be empowered in terms of their demographics. Is it? So we're not impressed 20 years down the line. You must also say, when did this company start? And when they started, what was their aim and all that? Anglo-American started long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It has, I don't know how many years, centuries in this mining. So, yes, they do. And you know, if this legislation was affecting their productivity, they were going to understand it the first day that it was implemented. So there's nothing like they don't understand any legislation. They choose and pick which legislation they want to implement and which they don't. The other thing I also want to help us to understand the whole complexity of the whole thing. All these legislations that you have said we have passed, are they assisting us in getting our objective done? Because at the end of the day, we want women employed. That the unemployment that they have created, they must resolve. How do we ensure that this legislation that, because that's where our power is, as legislators, we can change those legislations. Give us the issues that we have to change in the legislation so that we get women hired in those areas. And this is just a tip of an iceberg. Only two companies with their subsidiaries. How many millions are they making? And you must give us, with all levels, here there are so many women. What are they doing? Here there are so many women. What are they doing? That transformation forum, it reminds me of a transformation officer that was put in Swan. During the period 1990 and 1995 to 1999, the so-called transformation officer was just a person put there, a black face put there, and did absolutely nothing to transform the municipality. So it seems these structures are everywhere. Even the gender focal point is like that. The gender focal point is just one person seated there in a department doing absolutely nothing to transform the department. So We need legislation that is going to force them. I always give this example in Norway. The Minister for Finance ended up putting legislation that deregistered companies that did not appoint women as chairpersons of boards in Norway. Do we have to go there? If we have to go there, let us do it, because capitalism will never empower women. They will never empower women. Why are we sugarcoating this thing? Help us to empower women. Because we're sitting here, we're complaining. We must find even a way of putting questions in the house. Give us questions to put in the house to the minister, to the president, to whoever on these issues that affect women. But this one of women still working underground, you must go there tomorrow and remove them. But these companies must also guarantee their employment. These women can't continue to be, you know, when you are sexually abused, you are going to destroy lives of so many people. When they go out of that ground, they will go and punish their children and whoever they encounter, or another male person that they know. But please remove that torture from these women. And it is us who have opened that space. We don't want those women underground. Go and tell Mosipe now, man. Mosipe is former dog. Any American woman.
Thank you, Sikhalo. I was just about to go and get a cup of coffee. CGE, thank you very much for these reports. They are interesting and I think self-explanatory. You mentioned that the workforce consists of women mainly in the lower levels of employment. Have you looked, and you said that with regards to government departments, you were having challenges. Do you have any information that takes every government department and looks at the Director General, the DDG, and senior management level only? Because that's what matters. Look, I've posed parliamentary questions in this regard, a generic question that's going to go to everyone. But do you have any information currently on that? And regards to salary equity, because I know that government payrolls, you are paid according to a grade, but it's always in between, Lentuka, it's between 100 and 120 based on, you know, a leeway. So if you can look at DG, DDG, senior management level, check the salary equality and also the qualifications of the women in those positions. That is what we need to change. It's at that level. It's no point saying we don't have women in higher levels. We've got too many in the low. Not too many, but you know what I mean. That senior decision-making level is where we need the change to happen. So we need to know where that is now. And they should also respond. Do they have a sexual harassment policy in place? How many reports have they received? How many incidents have been investigated? How many have been included? So if you can, if you have that information, let me know. If you don't, wait for the responses to my parliamentary questions. Okay.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. I was thinking to share your colleague. Today was even with the mining sector. I thought you
I thought you'll go through the details of that private sector, because it's a private sector. We'll come to the departments and the rest of the issues. So today is a minor and Chair, thanks.
Honourable
CGE.
Standard?
Yes, ma'am.
We don't have to actually start looking
like that, but
you know, we're here to try and analyse the report. And
don't respond, listen to the chair. We're listening to you.
I'm just engaging from
this. You're what?
I'm just engaging from this. I don't think it's healthy.
What is not healthy?
I'm not being protected. I was making a valuable contribution. I didn't mean anything wrong by it. So I'm not going to say anything further. And I'm disengaging.
Who's supposed to protect you?
You, Chair.
It depends whether you're towing the line or not. And I'm trying to explain to you as it is right now. Let's differentiate government and what we are actually dealing with right now. And I will protect you if that is the case. But now, unfortunately, you are back-chatting. And it's something I don't tolerate. I really can't tolerate it. Honourable members, as we're all sitting here, don't back check. That's what I'm asking you not to do. No. No. No.
I'm an equal member of this party.
Standard. I thought we had reached consensus. And actually, as you are packing your thing, you must know that I'm going to go back.
No.
I will.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm not scared of anybody.
I think this has been very unfortunate.
Have been?
Very unfortunate. Thank you very much.
No, that's fine.
I'll be big now.
I'll swear up to you. I will swear up to you. I will.
Shaka said, now that I'm a woman, we see a little.
You can join the queue. You can join the queue.
It's mine.
CGE, don't be upset. But there are times when we can take the lead off the box. We are dealing with a very delicate issue.
She's right.
Continue.
Thank you, Chair. I want to agree with you that, Chair, the conduct is uncalled for, and you must take this matter up.
But we're taking it for the second time with the political party.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, we need a written form and wait for the written responses from the week, Chair.
I actually made them a proposal, and they said no, they can't because she's been thrown out from the other department. I said this one is not going to tolerate that. Okay, continue. Sorry to disturb you.
No, it's fine. Thank you, Chair, and thanks very much, CGE, for the presentation. In your first presentation, the last slide, page 18, you said that
What's the reason, but why can't she then explain? Firstly, you people didn't turn up here on time. So Ukaula is going to be now actually shouting at us. We demand an explanation, and it must come back here in writing. Not later than 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Yeah. Thank you, Mahamba. That's it. Go busu fele funu ka. Aga tu busu kome hisi. Ego sasa. We excuse you. You can leave.
Am I allowed to say something? Am I allowed? Yeah. I apologize if that sounds rude to leave. I spoke to the Honourable Member about it. She understands. In fact, I don't come in here. I came because there was a crisis. And now the interpreter has arrived. And I checked in her if it is okay. She said she can see him arriving. I can go. Then I handed over to her where he must take over. All I was doing was to assist. I'm not an interpreter. Mm-hmm. I come from there. I'm aware of the problem that has happened because you didn't get the interpreters in time. I was sitting in the office trying to sort the committee out, the other committee. So I apologize on that. I'll report this back to the office. I'm not an interpreter. I'm just assisting because I can't do it. If you want me to stay, I can still stay and finish up with her. I don't mind.
With all due respect, when you came here, you didn't even explain what you could. I then approached you, but the person that's supposed to help is that side, but you decided to come and sit this side until I had to shift some other people around. It starts from there. It starts from there. I am just pleading with your department, and you repeat it. They have to respect us. And Makaula, Nisbet, it's not her own choice that she doesn't understand English to the T. And you people are also given the chance here in Parliament to communicate with people like this. I'm not fighting with you, but it's the way Obenzela Gakon. So I'm not going to continue, you know, dealing with that. But please, it must never happen again. Continue.
Oh, thanks, Chair.
Continue.
No, on the matter, Chair. I want to just to make a comment on the matter, Chair.
I think she made her apology, and I think the committee accepted that.
Yeah.
But please, we shall treat Honorable Kawula just like any other member who needs assistance in Parliament. So in future, deal with the matter as a matter of priority. But we understand your... Don't raise the hand, Chloe. You are just intimidating. We are dealing with your matter, and I don't think the person will give you another opportunity to respond. So
no,
take your apology, let the interpreter come in, and she will listen to you. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming and assisting my honorable colleagues.
Shalom, here's what Jabula over to you. We are called this to Jim Sevilla. Who did call me to? We asked to Kalilin. One issue for him, London. We are one of the fellow Lomia, although I'm not interpreting that many in the game. Who need even the other oversight by our holder? But he mothers him. Then you see, could you know what is about to tell him to your head? And imagine that when the song has to end up by his side, the Zilla. Kanti lento eyenzeka ilungelo lami njengomuntu okhethwe phansi abantu bakithi abafuna ukuthi bazwenzele and ngo-1994 ngesikhathi sithatha inkululeko yizo zonke izinto lezi esakhuluma ngazo khona ngiyaxolisela ngale ndlela esho ngayo kodwa funeka bakwazi ukuthi again lo mnyanga awuthathe serious bebona bekungcono kuqala kusekhona lowo uba unele umele benza show ngoba benza funa ukwazi ukuthi siyaxhuliseka yini and even incwadi besakhuluma kudala bazobabhala incwadi enelela even incwadi eziza kumina noma kwabantu oba kumina ngento azizwe nge-language yami because mina kusebenza dlane nje bahlukene ephalamende akushiyo ukuthi elabantu be-english kuphela nawo wonke umuntu wala e-South Africa. Lento engiyenzayo, I'm proud ngayo because kumele abantu bakithi. Ngiyabonga.
Let's write a letter to the minister.
It's gone too far.
Thank you, Jackie. Not only to the manager, but also to the secretary of
parliament.
You'll find that because at some stage, the language services was fighting for internet or something, and they were told that they can do it.
You're excused, sis. You can go back to your office.
Please
close the door for me. I'm sorry to disturb, but there are certain things that you have to just continue, ma.
Oh, thanks, Chair. I was still on the first slide, which speaks to your interaction with EPS and Clarence. Okay, in the last slide, subsequent to the follow-up meeting with the mining companies, the CGE, all the companies that make great funds in implementing your recommendation.
Yeah.
So can you share with us all those successes? All the things that they have influenced the minds. And on the other slide, Chair, I want to agree with Honorable Chair, but mining companies are misleading us to say that they are not familiar with the legislation that the government has done. actually they are ignorant and not ready to implement the legislation that we have as government. But overall, I think it's a responsibility of the Department of Mineral DMR resources to make sure that all these mining companies can they're complying in terms of the legislation that we have in the country. So I think it's our responsibility to maybe in future to meet with the Botswana community and the department to share with them the findings of CGE and the recommendations thereafter. And I also propose that chair that I think you've already done for me, many companies.
Stick
to that, don't go further. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that all the six are implementing the resolutions or the recommendations. Mm-hmm. Don't go further because we lose focus in what we are doing. So focus on that until you get them right. Mm-hmm. Because there's no way that we can, as a government, at this moment, we can agree that female use the same toilet as me. These are basic, you know, services that we must provide, especially to the mining. They're doing a lot of money. There's a lot of money that they're benefiting from the minerals that we have in this country. And another issue, Chair, I'm not quite sure, Chairperson of CGE, how can all the other matter, your first presentation and your second presentation, you don't use the standard format in terms of reporting. I'm not quite sure in one detailed even in terms of, you know, your this gender representative rating scale. It does have numbers in terms of people in, you know, in top management and lower management, but your first report doesn't indicate that. It does not have your gender representation ranking scale. So why can't you use that uniform reporting in terms of all the assessment of all your mining companies? The other issue, I'm not quite sure, Chair, how can we then review this gender representation rating scale? Because a mining company is out of 250 posts that they have in the senior management, female comprises of 30% of that, or 69 out of that 250. But you rate them at 4. To you, they are doing better. But to me, it's not even half of that amount. This means that they're still being discriminated, they're still not being taken, you know, into consideration in terms of the senior management post. So to me, it doesn't worth it to give them 4. So I think let's review your gender representation rating scale to say maybe level 1, if a person has failed, you say it's a failed gender representation, let's start from 0, maybe to 15. Let's increase it. Let's be strict on what we want to, because we're not going to. We are soft in dealing with the issue. You know, we are very, 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 very much soft. So let's increase our percentage. Saying maybe level 1, we go from 0 to 15. Then a person has failed. From 15 to 30, then at least at level 2. Push them to the level that we want them to, you know, to achieve our gender representation. Otherwise, we are too soft in CGE. We are not going to get this thing right. And on the other issue, Chair, your Employment Equity Act. This is the Department of Labour. Mm. It's the custodian of that. Mm. So you ask yourself, what is their responsibility? What is it that they are doing? You know, or want to agree with the people that are saying, you know, we've got good legislation in the country, South Africa, and the problem is the implementation. Our problem generally, we can revise them, we can review them, you know, as much as we want. But as long as we don't want to implement them, then it is the problem. It doesn't say that we don't have legislation or these people are not aware of the legislation that we have. They are. The problem is that we don't hold them accountable. And they are not ready to implement them because it's financially it will bind them. They will use some of their resources to make sure that they implement some of the policies that we have adopted as a country. So thank you very much.
I'm not going to spare your name because it's here. You started from this. You tell whether or not we are emancipating. And then also agriculture in the middle of nowhere, and you decided to come here. Now, ngiyathethimela, kodwa nawe ngeke ushiye. Please be clear uma ngabe uzokhetha ukuthi yiphi i-portfolio ozoya kuyo. Ngoba manje ufike kuthina siyafuna ukuza ukuthi baphi abatolikelayo. Insizwa leseduze kwakho naye ihambile yahamba ngesitimela samalahle. It's wrong. It's very wrong. Manje-ke ngiyasho-ke intombi yakithi angisali sizoyilwa sizosoyilwa eThekwini. Musukudlala ngey'ngane kodwa nazo kufanele zazi ukuthi ubhilonga la. Ngolwesibili ubhilonga la. Uyazonisisa? Musaku ubusuya usulana manje usubona eminye imilenze emhlophe sonabi usuyalandela nawe. Beka ugogo. Beka ugogo lo. Ngemqondo yakhe. Ngemqondo yakhe umlandele.
Agriculture, agqina ukukhuluma uma usuthi uyafika zenzeki.
ngiyabonga nanokuthi kukhona imigomo nemithetho ekhona emisha ekhona evikela abantu besifazane, kodwa ngiyojabula uma ngiyibona isebenza ngoba okwamanje ngibona ingasebenzi. Imnandi lo, and u-CGE ngiyawuthanda, uyazama ukulwa nokulwela abantu bakithi besifazane ebabona bephumelela. Ngikhumbula nangama-meeting esasikhona eLimpopo, sasinaye u-CGE ikhombisa futhi ukuzimisela sihambana nekomiti. Ngiyalibonga futhi sasingaqhubeka. Nangake mina engifuna ukuthi esikhulume khona sesingena kulenza zezamali zezelento wena ngidayo manje lezi zemayini. Labona kunenkinga la engisafuna ukuyazi. Sikhulume ngey'mayini lezi zasemagama. Ngikhumbula nathi siku-oversight. Ngithi sasinayo insizwa yami lena elayigcibeni umhlonishwa lo. La imayini eyayithengise khona ukwakhela abantu izindlu abaseduzane kwayo, kanjalo nokubanika amanzi. Ngikhumbula ukuthi seze sangena ngaphakathi sabheka amanzi lana aklinwa khona nala esuka khona yabo kanjalo kanjalo. Kodwa igcina ngokukhuluma ngomlomo ngoba saze sabuza ukuthi lana sikhumbule even one day kuthiwa la imayini ayisebenzi because ngoba amanzi anjani awekho, kodwa omakhelwana bala abanawo amanzi. Yabo ithembisa ngani ngomlomo? Izinto lezi batakwethu engisafuna ukuzilwa noma nginenkinga. U-CGE engasebenza ngendlela asebenza ngayo. If kodwa nathi lo mnyango wethu ikhanda lethu lala lingafuni ukuba yiphathi, lisebenzisane no-CGE. Yogcina ekhuluma u-CGE ungenzeki izinto ngoba yabona nendaba ukuthi esebenze yedwana engekho omlekelelayo kuzokhona wama nje kusho ukuthi bayazama bona, kodwa lona omunye ngapha akafuni ukukhombisa ukusebenza lakhe njengominista. Uminista ngempela mina ngazi ngempela ukuthi ngathiwani indaba yakhe, akakhombisi ukukhombisa ukuba nentshisekelo noma ngempokophelo nabantu besifazane especially izinto esiyibalayo. Lana-ke kuleyo emayini lapha eThekwini baningi abantu abanemayini naba abhalisile abarejistile abanamalayisensi okuvala izimayini especially abesifazane abakhokha njani imali. Anti niyazi ukuthi khona lesitipuleti kwathiwa sizohamba aze siphele kodwa niyashiwo kodwa masho ukuthi uyofaka umsebenzi siyafuneka i-BEE iyabiza leya nto. Kodwa still abayinjani abawutholi umsebenzi. Abantu eThekwini kukhona ithimba labantu besifazane eliselamonti. La bantu laba babengikhalela bethi kunemayini. Le mayini le bayiqalile bayenza yonke into bahamba baza bangisho umasipala weThekwini. Kodwa still bathi masathethu bayaqala ukusebenza bayabona sebeyasuswa kuyona. Sekuzofakwa abanye abaney'nwele ezinde. Yayizwa loo nto. Le nto inenkinga ongayazi and le nto yey'mayini masingayikhuluma la khona niyangijabulisa badakwethu niyakhombisa wena ngangithule ngilalele. Isingisi angisizwa angisazi kodwa ngomoya kaNkulunkulu uma nikhuluma uyakwazi uyabona nikhuluma into eyisimanga le yasemayini phansi komhlaba. Abantu bayipolitician kubuhlungu ngoba mina ngingcono ninesikhathi sokushayisa. Umuntu oyipolitician akalali especially lo osebenza ngabantu. Nithi nilele thina silele ukhona amashanelo okwazi ukuthi uma ngivula la ngizothola khona iqiniso le ngizothola la kulihalamosa khona lani obona khona banento engiyishoye mangaqamba bangizolo othanda day before ngibonile lezo zinto emkhuluma ngazo ngaphansi komhlaba uthola ukuthi abantu besifazane bayahlukunyezwa laphayana. Uthola ukuthi abona into engadisho bengiyibuka mileni yayo ngosini. Le ndaba ukuthi uthi asebenza uyabona umuntu wesifazane omunye uyalwa and nale ndawo abahlala kuyona abasebenza kuyona ayikho right. Ngokomthetho nje ngibuye ngibuyele ku-honorable uChewu. Khona la wathi khona although bakwathiwa le nto yenziwe ngoba sazi sifuna ukuba 50-50 angithi uyesho.
Yeah.
Khona imisebenzi ngokomthetho eyayingafanele ukuthi yenziwe ngabantu ngiyabona lo ungena ngaphansi komhlaba awukho right leti ngivusela ubuhlungu balo wamuntu wesifazane owashona nisho ukuthi abuhlungu endoda owashona nekhonteni wagcina isidumbu sakhe singatholakalanga ngisho iy'thambo zakhe ngisho iy'ngane zakhe washiye umndeni leyanto ayibuhlungu noma ngibani njengoba ngisho nje obuhlungu kakhulu naye uhulumeni wethu akafuni ukusilekelela kodwa-ke ikakhulukazi bani lo owumama ofanele ngabe uyalekelela ukuthi sikwazi. Enye into ilana lena le nakhona la ngiphuma kuncane kumayini akazoba ngaphuma uyabona kule nto okay ngiyabonga mna ngiphela kusambisana uyabona lanezimayini mina ngazi ngenzeka kanjani ke sibe nemihlangano enjengale esasiyenzile kungcono besiye emphakathini sibaseke bonke labantu abasey'mayini abaney'mayini ebasite bahambe basiyapha lithole ukuthi kukhona yini usizo abasizwa ngayo ngoba ma ngibheka nje mina manje i-most engiyaziyo abanesitifiketi abavunyeke ukusebenza gcina nje nomenza mhlawumbe ogcina ithuthelwa lelo hlabathi yabona kodwa ubone ukuthi umthetho awumvumeli uyaboshwa kuyabonga ngoba uyangiqhubeka endalo ngoku.
I wanted to
thank you very much for the opportunity and for the presentation. First, Jefferson, when it comes to women and mining, most of the time it just becomes the issue of talk shop. I'm happy with the work that CGE is doing and I appreciate and I just hope that they continue to do what they do. I think, Jefferson, I remember very well that when we were in Limpopo on oversight, the mine they promised to provide water for the people, but to this very day that has not been fulfilled. And I wish to say that CGE has been doing a lot of good work and I just hope that government could also play a part so that we achieve this goal. For example, Jefferson, in Lamontville, there's a group of women there who are trying to enter into a mining space, but they've been unfairly moved by the powers that be, and I hope that will also be looked at. Another point, Jefferson, I wanted to say that I'm grateful that we are talking of women, especially black women, but there are some of them who are registered. They have all the requirements and papers, all the requirements, if you like, but Jefferson, they are still suffering racism, particularly with respect to jobs. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, thank you very much. Those women are included by the BEE. Mm. The BEE certificate, which is very expensive for such things.
Mm.
Okay. On the recommendations, I think the first presentation. I think that would be perfect. The recommendations on page 15, where you're talking about gathering, which courses are they assisting these women? And have you checked if whatever that they are assisting them on has been successful? Because there's this notion that African kids are not being are not getting the skills that are required by the economy. So in which what courses are they putting their money on? And then the issue of childcare is not like it's a necessity. If you employ women, it is a necessity. Especially now, even men want to take care of their children. So you need a childcare facility. It's like it's a non-negotiable mess. Hopefully with the AMR that you are talking about, you'll be implementing that. My main concern is also communities that these mines find themselves in. So if you're dealing with mining, you must expand your scope to also in the nearby communities where there are facilities. In Sierpur, I went there, there's an Anglo-American housing. And I won't be surprised if that enclosure is only for a certain race group houses. You can see the houses in there, they are big. You know, it's like an apartheid model. They have water in that enclosure. They have taro, they have big houses, but the village around that place, there is no car. They are big trucks driving on the road up and down with no car, no water, as one member alluded to that issue. I think those are some of the issues that you must look at, because the mining itself, being there, it really affects the community. So how does the community gain in them being there? How do they gain? And women, how does that affect women? Because in the long run, women will be nursing the people that will be affected by the mine. They will also be nursing the people that will be injured. In most of the mines, there are no hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
How do they handle the people that get injured in the process? Because our hospitals can't take even the intake. You must remember that these are inflicted wounds by that particular company. So they must take responsibility. All I know is that hospitals that were created during apartheid, like Cullinan and mine, has been closed. Why did they close those hospitals in the mine? I'm not sure. But what I want us to check, as I want to go back to yourself, is the legal department that you have must check if our legal act is this sufficient enough to compare, taking all the experiences that you have gone through with the mine, is it sufficient enough to help us implement all the things that we want them to implement? Thank you.
Now, my question is around the issue of persons with disabilities in mind. I know of many other persons with disabilities who are being detained because of the accident that are happening in mind. But what happened to those people, some of them are being paid to go and pay because of their disabilities, others they don't even get those things. And the issue is whether those companies, whether those mines that you have with having indicated to have working with them, have any statistics to say how many people disabilities have been in mind with their previous workers who are in mind, and also to say that whether they have been able to call them back to work in mind, but not on the underground, but on the upper ground, but just in an other way, but still in the mind, because some of those people are young people who are now unable to to provide their families, but they wanted to still continue to work, even though if they are even in wheelchairs, they can do the work. And but the other, you know, that people with disabilities, they have cross disabilities. You can't say that they have person to work under the because if there is something happening there, he or she will not even aim to understand what is happening.
Mm.
Yeah. And also the issue of women on wheelchairs, you know. We know that they can be able to get those secretarial work, just administration work that they can do in the mine instead of being told there's no any other way of employment. Maybe in future, if we can have those statistics, how many disabled persons in those mines are in the
yabona nje sakhuluma ngemayini ngubuko kuyi
kodwa kuhambelana
nesihambelana nemayini baba kunodaba noma kunabantu baserastenberg abokuqala nje izindlu zabo ziyakhrekha ngabuza athi ngisho yini izindlu zenu zonke i-most yazo ziyakhrekha bathi njengoba sakhe la ngaphansi kuduza bathi ngolovane nomtenjani imshini bathi ukhuluma okuncane wena ngokubona ngamehlo bathi uzothi uthulele embhedeni udlekezele kwambhede okubuhlungu kunakho konke labantu engikhuluma ngabo sebabanaye bakhombisa ukuthi abantu ababebadala kuqala sekukhona ogogo abafelokazi athi azashule muzu langiyakhelwe indoda yami ubona nje abazukulu bami babephezu usuba bazobayiphathi yalanama ngabe sekukhona osweshonile ubaba kodwa kuyimanje akhona oyedwa iphathi yale nto noma uyoriphotha indlu yakhe siyiwile nalelofa uyoze uyilungisele wena ngoba kuthi umlungu akanandaba naloo nto okunye okubuhlungu futhi khona futhi e-Rustenburg ngazo njalo iy'mayini nabantu besifazane kuyakhulaza abantu abehlukumezayo abantu besifazane laba bantu abasebenza emayini i-most yabo baphuma sebegula ugula okuhlukene omunye umthole esehamba etsheka uyabona nje abanye bahamba ngama-wheelchair kodwa manje ma agule kodwa ugule ukungena emayini enjani ephila maseshonile akukho nesinxaphezelo sokukuzwelela wena mama osele ngaphakathi instead of that bakukhipha endlini ugqoke inzila indoda yakho nginabo nje umndeni engagcina ikhala ngalelo siza ngazile endaba emayinini isusa ngalo bekhala imayini isibakhipha kayabona nje nizokhumbula nje okasifa nayo ethembi nakhonbulayele nto ama-black jack qala uwawuthi ma ushonele indoda afike nokhiya bangabaukhula vele ukhishelwe ngaphandle kufakwa abanye abantu kulenjalo ukuthi nalabantu basemayini bonke e-Rustenburg basakhala and bakhala nanokuthi ivile ukudla kwabo abathi bayakutshala ugcina sekufa ngamanye amazwi and ma uthiyabheka kule andawo abantu besifazane wonke lamakhompleni engikhuluma ngawo abafakwa nokuthi babe yingxenye yokuba ayimayini noma basaphiseke at least yebo so ngempela ngempela le nto emayini nabantu besifazane safuneka ikhulunywe kodwa ngase ikhuluma kuyiphi level yo-right oba yes bayayibheka nabo abantu akwethu bakhuluma kamnandi bayakhombisa kodwa manje angekho lono ikhanda lethu elizokwazi ukuthi lalelani akuthatheni i-action kulabantu ngoba akusizi ukuhlala la sizosikhuluma ngey'nkinga iy'nkinga kodwa ekugcineni ezinjani ezingenzeki. And yabona uma ngase thina abantu besifazane kuthiwa manje nazi isikhi sethu sinaso asikwazeni nathi kumayela ngendlela efanele, akukho umhlabathi umhlaba ongenayo imali ngoba even igquma lelinkwane iyasingena phansi kwemayini. Kodwa wena muntu okwazi ukuyithola leyo oqhawuka amashaka amakhulu azoyimba tshela mle makhaya qhawulithaka enkulu ayiphumbelela kuthiwa isenkwalini bayiphumbele enhlabathi nenanogcina ngey'ntuli anikwa nendlela lokufundisa ukuthi nansilakuba unkulunkulu usiphile lelifa imayini ngabe yegolide ngabe yey'ntaba noma yani. Ngiyabonga.
CGE, thanks very much for the good work.
I remember that when I've spoken to, or when I had a chance to speak to some of the people that live in the area, they complain to percent of their houses that they are cracking, especially when mining companies are doing their operations, you find that their houses will be not in a state of good human habitation. So I think there is also a sad reality that we see with respect to mining companies, that when a husband or a spouse has passed away, the surviving spouse or family, they will be forcefully removed from those houses. And I hope to present that this issue will be looked at, because when they get sick, it's because they are working for those companies. And it's one of those things that we also need to look at. Chairperson, I don't know who we can report this matter to, but I believe that women need to be assisted, and also the EE certificate, like what we said earlier, that they need to get this certificate so that they can also enter into this space. Thank you. I think it's the same point that she is raising, that when Ashton is passed away in a mining area, the southern spouse would have to be, they get forcefully removed because Ashton is
not alive.
Thanks very much for the good work. But my plea is let's go deep and actually make sure that the owners of those mines must feel the heat. So I wonder if you've even gone further to investigate whether, because mines are an area with high HIV cases, it's going to be worse when women are being raped under stress because we're spreading HIV. Is there any treatment they are giving to the women? What's going to happen? Where is their future? Very, very important. Let's dig deeper into all those things. And when they employ those people, they usually say they will actually ensure that their children get back to the home. But no. No person. So those are some of the sensitive areas we have to look deeper to.
Anyway, thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
The board is in your work now.
Thank you, and Chair Honorable, for protecting me from my CEO. I think for us it has been this mining thing, it has occupied our time so much that we sometimes wanted to get in there, subpoena and all that, and then we said to ourselves, we wanted the study groups that we have met there when we were doing our research not to be afraid at the moment, for them to be able to complete, for us to be able to complete and be able to come back the sensitivities of our ethics. There was a bit of conflict, so that when we put the complaint, we already have people who are going to support us, instead of us being, you know, red carding before, that our people who have been giving us this critical information must feel that they are safe and all, so that when we come back, we can come back at a different route and at a different level. And I think I agree that we should be engaging with the owners, like the founder members and the board, and raise this issue there, where they are. I hear that we are already engaged with the senior managers, but I think the committee is saying we must negotiate the owner, the African Rainbow, and at least we know who they are. They are, some of them are local. Anglo-American, I know that maybe the headquarters might not be here, I'm not sure, but we know where to find the chairperson of the board or something. So I think to our team, we must go to the chairperson of the board and the owners and write to them. Maybe even explore subpoena them, because for me the tone at the top must be clear. But I also wanted to add one dimension. I think I appreciate that the members also in your questions, I think suspect you were raising that, the questions to the ministers or to ours from us here is to ask the ministers to respond on the gender question. Because our own political organizations, bayalibala ukuthi kufanele bephendulile nabo ngochintsho olenzekayo kwabesifazane. So ourselves must set the agenda for gender transformation to be discussed in the National Assembly. That would be exciting for us, because we are also sharing as much as we can on the information for us, for the country also to receive the problems that our women are facing, especially the working women, especially on the mining. So we will appreciate that the questions that the ministers, the different ministers themselves, to respond for themselves. The socio-economic mama, we have looked at them, HIV and AIDS, indlela abahlala ngayo abantu bakuthi around the mining town. We have looked into all of those, but we have said we want to focus on working conditions. And as a working conditions for us, because the EI law, all the international standards are there, and we have vekile imigomo nemithetho that they are supposed to already be complying with. So the questions that we can ask the different ministers and put the gender agenda back squarely into our employees and our cabinet to address is that we will appreciate if we also ask them, take them to task to respond what is, in terms of the mining charter, how is it going to benefit the gender transformation? What is happening with sexual harassment? You know that the decent work campaign, for example, what you raised about the heavy machinery, yonke lando iphathwa izixhobo ezisetshenziswayo underground, we all know that they have standards and norms, ILO has set them. But our mining companies are as a collectively. So the hard questions have to be asked with our ministers that we only we're not only looking at the ownership of the mining, what we call white monopoly capital.
Mm-hmm.
We are also looking for us the gender agenda. Indlela omama abaphethwe ngayo, indlela abafakwa ngayo emisebenzini, indlela abagcinwa ngayo retention at work, indlela abapromotwa ngayo talking to succession at work, nendlela abaprotectwe ngayo kwiphathaphatha nakwi-rape. So our ministers also have to be seized with that. It is there in the ILO standard. We will also maybe, because we also monitor the different committees when they report. We never hear the gender agenda with the committees. I know that Tina Philippa with Women in President. But when we do the monitoring of the debates of the other committees, I can make a question. Yes, the indosis muzayo that are important that they should be complying to. But we are only considering the economy. We are just talking transfer. We are not talking about the substantive inclusion of women in the economy. When we call about ESCOM, we don't ask them, but give us procurement for women. Give us a sense, how many women technicians do you have? So that as a level, the information when you phone about mama, but she looks the levels. You will find on mama benza it, right?
Yeah.
But I want you to also know that in the male-dominated field, we have also seen that women won't even be given to make tea. Kuzo, ukweshwa abantu bangotata babenza it because it's a male-dominated industry.
Yeah.
So I'm just asking us that. We concern that I think honourable member was asking the levels where Tina sitting to bana cooking like. Cooking like it could skills as Nabilay. Science, in maths, in technology, in technicians, in electricians, and abandona bitch, Bafundi. The generation that is behind us, abandona bitch, they have the skills, but it talks to Bama Smooth, who higher education. Nithenza internships, nithenithi nivulela amathuba e-skilling process, nithenisa abantwana ku workplaces, nike abanani, bapha abantwana, basebenza phi. So umsebenzi wethu siyanqenela into yobana ube integrated nakwezinye i-committees ngoba ezinye i-committees aziyazi uba ngaba nje besihleli apha nje zinengxaki yezaministers that okanye sinengxaki ngee-companies ezireporta kubo okanye sinengxaki ngendlela umsebenzi wenziwa ngayo kwezaa ndawo bareporta kubo. So that question of asking us and supporting the questions to national but to the other committees as well is important. Economic development mama had a program. I remember then when we were having the Marikana issue, I know that there was a special committee that was set up to actually accelerate the housing settlement in the labanda bashalangayo around the mining. I know Minister Patel was busy updating the cabinet at some point about this report on in the labanda bashalangayo around the mining. So I know in the Bangaba, if we can, Bangabas no net sana, Manis Muza, if questions cause ministers, these are Pumas and Josephuna. More. Because you know we mandate here to ES limit her, and I agree honorable guest that we must stay where we sing is the indoor as of more people to come through and all that sample and then use that sample as a point of departure and the consultation for the broader. So we will take that into consideration. So I know there is a report around in mining settlements. And I must say, Ikoni report Ben Kenai Bona that there is an improvement. We have built habitable places for our mining and their families. But it's still, for me, we must put it on the agenda. So we looked at the socio-economic conditions, HIV, mama, mining, who can sex work?
Yeah, well,
kukho nomama abatshate bangabakhosikazi number 3, number 4, number 2 who are around this is termed polygamy. And sometimes they will be left they will be left widows, because of widows, even the American, some of the widows are in the rural where the men were coming from, and one widow is left where the settlement actually is. So those are the things that we still need to address. And for me, when we manage to just push our agenda outside into the National Assembly discussions and to the other committees, it will help also to address by human settlements, yenzantoni, or health, wenzantoni, and all that, especially around the mining platinum in industry. Because I know as part of our sustainable development goals, that is also our task to ask the difficult questions. I will then ask us to disabilities, Mama. There is a challenge around disabilities. But I want to, let me share you something that I, my observation, and I have found that white in the retail companies that came to us, white companies, they employ white disabled children as high as 13%. In an ordinary furniture or selling, one company is in Free State, Kloppers, I think it's Kloppers, as high as 13% of their workforce is children with disabilities, white. And we ask them, how do you recruit, where do you find them? And they said they work with local schools and all that. But we had to raise the race dimension. But I'm trying to say that it comes back to our Mutsipe and Anglo-American, that our own are not investing in their own also. But I'm just flagging it that it was an interesting dimension when they are appearing in front of us, the white retail industry, especially because the ownership you can't change. Because the ownership, inobaba wakona, there is an uncle wakona, or uncle abai five, they are owners, they are sitting in the management structure. So when you are talking about transformation to senior level, they will tell you, uncle usebenza apa, my sister-in-law is the CFO, the banban is the CEO, my brother, you know. So, but I must tell you, in terms of disability, they are looking after their own, up to 13% that we found in that sector of white, the cluster white owners taking care of people with disabilities. But I must say that it is not a norm. As you have said, that we must not praise things that are out of the ordinary. But I just wanted you to know that there is some economic plantile apa, ebonisa ukuba ngaba. The owners ezizimhlophe, the company, ziyezona ziyenze i-follow up, and umuntu wakhona is employing because uthi abukundi naye, I have two kids who are disabled. So I just felt that in my company I am going to bring in disabled children because I have seen my child is able to do A, B, C, D, and E. So it's a humanitarian kind of, but E, taking care of my people. So I'm just raising it that there is some nuances there. Can we then try and respond? Gender is an all-night thing, and day and many days.
Thank you, Chair. Just to highlight, I think especially on the first presentation, if we zoom into the actual report, we have tried and we take notes that will include some of those tables that were there in the presentation, because I think we omitted to do that. And there were questions around the data and all that. So we do have some tables that kind of give a sense of where we are, which levels,
white Indians and all that, we do see a trend where there are sort of, in some instances, there are more white women. We lack Indians and colored and blacks are lacking behind on some of our statistics. I think there was a question as well around from Honorable Takeda checking which of the recommendations have been implemented. We, you know, when we go back and we check, for instance, if you look at page 32 and you look at some of their recruitment processes, you do see a bit of change. It's not that much. I don't think it's anything that we can really celebrate, especially when you look at the fact that when we look at professional qualified people, which is what we need, we still have like a few females getting in. I mean, if you look at 2015, we had 8 out of 24 that were recruited specifically for professionally qualified people within some of these mines. But look at semi-skills. We jump up to 54, which actually shows, you know, these kinds of issues that we are highlighting. So as much as we do see them, in the following those recruitment strategies that they've put in place, we do see that slowness at the end on some of these things. And I think one of the things that we are happy about, really, when it comes to some of these things, those companies, some of the companies, like we have indicated, they are calling us back. Because, and I think it's important, I mean, they are calling us back to ensure that we run workshops on some of these issues. Utabo highlighted, we kind of zoom in now, our public education and information is running with workshops within these particular mines, and they have come back to us after highlighting some of the findings and some of the recommendations. So we do kind of recognize that the fact that at least they seem amenable to engaging, and hopefully these engagements will then also lead to something that is more tangible in the future. We have been working with those that do not have policies, for instance. I think Uthabo has indicated the kind of policies that are sitting at his desk at this stage that we are trying to analyze and see as to how far, how do they look, where they can improve, what are the weaknesses and the gaps that we can actually close. So as far as those areas are concerned, some of the companies are also really looking into redrafting their disability policies, for instance, and looking into trying to check where and which positions they can ensure that they reinforce and specifically for people with disabilities. So we are going to be working with them. This is the first, and I think we take a point. It probably would work that we stick with the six that we have worked with, and we keep going back just to check and analyze and see whether is there any, after the interventions that we've done or that we are doing, whether there's actual change that is coming through in terms of some of these other things.
Thanks, Chair. There was a question on the whether the companies are we were praising Anglo-American. I wasn't actually praising them. I was saying they were doing better compared to ARM. But in general, they were both doing badly. It's just that compared to ARM, Anglo seemed to be doing better, not just their corporate office, but the subsidiaries in terms of our scale, and that referred only to the representation. In terms of substantive gender policies, they were all doing badly, and I agree. The mining sector is actually, at this time, after 22 years of democracy, it changed. I think most of them agree with it. They don't disagree with it. And we found genuinely that they didn't, many of them at lower level. They were not familiar with the policy. They didn't know them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the senior managers up in the leaders might have been aware of it, but lower level staff, managers, middle level, those people who have to implement it on the ground were ignorant. They didn't know the policy. We asked them, are you aware of the National Gender Policy Framework? They would say, I don't know. We don't know that there's such a policy. We would even ask them, does your company have a gender policy? They don't know how to draft a gender policy document. Mm-hmm. They would tell us about the national employment equity legislation rather than talk to us about gender mainstreaming or gender equality. So for them, they would tell us about what they know the government wants from them, like compliance with employment equity report.
Mm-hmm.
They would tell us that that's our way of implementing gender mainstreaming. And we tell them that employment equity looks only at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But gender mainstreaming is more than just the numbers. Policies, programs on the ground, the practices and so on and so on, they would be completely clueless about it. They wouldn't know what we are talking about. So usually we recommend our PEI department to go and do awareness raising workshops with some of these companies just to inform them what we are talking about when we talk about gender mainstreaming. That's the last point that I want to refer to is, I agree with you. On the scale, it appears to be linear, but our scale was designed to tally with the national policy target of 50-50. That level 5 for us would be if they have achieved women and men reach 50%. So level 1 for us is basically 0. If you are at level 1, that means you haven't done anything at all there. So those companies, a lot of them, some of them were rated at 0. Even when they have one person in their company, we still regard it as a 0. So the problem is the mathematics. When you look at the company, you might find that it has a senior management of 2 people. One is female, one is white, is male. In terms of the scale, that's 50%. So it might look good in terms of the numbers, but in practice, it's not that good. So it's just the vagaries of the scale. In practice, many of these companies are really behind where they should be, and they admit to it that they are behind. There's no disagreement with it. The problem is enforcement of current legislation.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to add, CEO has responded to most of the legal department's questions, but the cases that Honourable Kaula refers to, if I can just have those details so that we can investigate that in depth as well, please. And then just to add on to what Dr. Rapport was saying in terms of the policies. That's what I think when I presented it. I think that came down from management to your lower level. And usually the answer is, but we published it on the intranet. So if you are there and you work underground, when you have access to an intranet to read the policies. So that is where the legal department also came in and started assisting in drafting, for example, sexual harassment policies. We give training from top management, bottom out. Every single person gets training by us on sexual harassment specifically, what and what it constitutes. So, you know, we try to take hands with these people to also improve, because the companies that we investigated, I must say,
we didn't get a lot of opposition, and they admitted that, as you said, the, you know, they comply with the basic legislation, employment equity. If you submit your plan, you're in order. But they admit that. So they work with us just to try and improve the numbers and do whatever is necessary. But then, Honourable Carla, if I could just have the details of those two cases, I would like to take it further, please.
Commissioner Mkosi, just maybe after the honourable members, maybe we will be able to give them a chance.
It looks like though you are doing your job, but looks like you are taking much of your time and resources doing the work of the DMR.
Yes.
And it's a very big department with a big budget, you know, there are offices throughout the country, the regional offices, and they've got a lot of staff.
Mm.
So is it not possible that you call them, not someone as such, just interact with them, raise your challenges, because you've got limited staff, you've got limited budget. So, but the work that you are doing is more than, you know, to what we are expecting. So call the Department of Minerals and Energy, raise your issues, raise your frustration, because it's their work.
Yeah.
Most of them, it's their responsibility. You know, the issue of training is part of their work.
Commissioner Chabot?
This is a good investigation. To the same page 18 and 19, the statistics there on the Bandera program, as I asked earlier on, I didn't get the answer in terms of the subject, the courses that they were training these women on. Another, the issue you raised, sharply the issue of excluding the Indian women and the colored women in this year, 2016-2017, which is also a problem. But even here, you're not outlining what are the courses that they're training these people for. And then how will the company benefit in training these women? Are they training other companies to poach them, or are they training them to build their company and all that? And then the graduate in training program, what does it mean? Because you're not outlining what it means. Even at page 21, the issue at the end in 2016, they're only trained African male and African male. We know that we need a majority of the people that we also have to be trained, that they can't meet other people that they also oppressed to be trained. Isn't it? I think that one is also to deal with it. And then we should have one to two ways. I forgot where is my question, but I'll go back to it if you can just explain the other. I forgot, there's one thing that I want to say apart from the buzzer.
Commission.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. I must say that I'm indebted to Honourable MP Seke, because like I was saying to Dr. Rapu, that given that in our experience of enforcing, for example, through the employment equity, this notion of a fair treatment of human rights, we find that at the end of the day, it's a matter of power relations.
Mm-hmm.
Employers will have power. Mm-hmm. And you know, power by its very nature is not something that the one who holds it will give it voluntarily until it is challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be also in relation to the question of as to what aspects of legislation need to be changed. Maybe it's not the solution doesn't even lie there. It lies at the level of perhaps now adopting some coercive measures against these employers that would force them to people actually comply. There is legislation, there are instruments, the policies are also there in place, but there is a resistance on their part. And that I was saying that maybe something that the CGA would consider, for example, we're having a once-legged planning, you know, for the time that lies ahead. We could consider a litigation strategy, because we have the information out surfacing, and maybe when the research of the six companies has been completed, we could think of putting in place a litigation strategy that we as CGA may not necessarily have access to, because we don't have the resources of the system. But as MP Sakhe said, it could be something, one of the things we could take to DM, to the Department of Mineral, so that they could take such an action. Because up until power is challenged, power just continues, you know, on its course. Yeah. Just thought that is something that one could comment on.
Yeah, the question that I wanted to ask was the new mining charter, how does it benefit us as women?
Thank you, Chair. Just to try and respond, I think I agree, Honourable Chair, that we in the statistics that we have given in the report, we do not specifically show which person was doing which training program, but we know that generally the training program that they gave to us has got issues around training around geology. They've got engineering there, they've got finance, they've got logistics, they've got operations, they've got a bit of research, and they've got admin. So that's holistically their training program is made up of some of those. And I think there on page 20 specifically, that's page 20 on the legal systemic report, we have just tried to highlight a little bit just to show the specific people that have benefited on that. We've got some names there, even though some of them, page 20. It's just a table, it's not a lot, but yeah, we will improve on that in ensuring that we highlight more properly. What the people have done, but their training program, we have analyzed it and looked into it, and generally it got those specific courses. I think there was also a question from you, Honourable Chair, earlier, that was looking at whether the disaggregated data, and specifically on Tabo's report, whether that data is which levels we were looking at. We have highlighted, and I think if you look into page 28 of that particular report, we've been looking more at management, professionally qualified and experienced specialists, more skilled and technical skills that are there and all that. So we have tried to sort of highlight. We are not just necessarily looking at lower levels, but we were targeting those managerial positions that also include some technical skills that is needed to run those particular positions. I must say, Honourable Benzu, that you have raised an important point, and it's part of what we've been trying to look at. Remember that when we put together our gender barometer, which is the tool that we utilize and specifically for our research as we go through this process, that tool does not have questions that would sort of assist us to see issues around gender gap. I take it that some of the questions that you've raised are sort of pushing us to also ensure that we improve and ensure that as we look into transformation generally, as we look into where women are in some of these spaces, we must not forget the fact that we have problems specifically on gender gap. So we will look into that. But because this tool was created in 2008, we just look specifically at those principles that look into gender mainstreaming generally, and we had not zoomed into levels and specific salary levels. So we will check and see how we can improve that so that it also adapts and goes on, I mean, with the new legislations and all the other things that are coming up. So we do agree that we just need to improve on that. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I just also wanted to say that maybe if we have, in conclusion, just to give a sense to the committee, Honorable Dengu, I think, Honorable Getz, that is the, in trying to address the issue of disabilities and skilling of that sector, that as much as it fits with the Human Rights Commission, as the Gender Commission, we said to ourselves, we're going to look at it as it relates to women. Because we are waiting for the Human Rights Commission to actually have a comprehensive report on what is happening with women with disabilities or the disability sector and skilling. Ngoba siyabona ukuthi abaqashwa abantu abakhubazekileyo. And bengaqashwa nje, they are not given these skills, abanikwa skills. So as much as we want them to be in the employment, their training and their basic education, it doesn't make them ready for the workplace. But again, it's a racial issue, apartheid education, that you will find that if a white child who's disabled will have access to a school, that will make them more ready just for the basics to live. But the African children, they will be in an overcrowded disabled school. I know a few schools, I think even our parents are complaining that if you have a disabled child, it's a challenge for you to get that child even to grade 12, let alone getting them to grade R. So I think for me, as we raise the gender substantive issues, because at least as a gender commission, we're ready for that discussion. As we get into the substantiveness of the gender discussion, we have to call on our own government to support our children with disabilities from grade R. Because that thing of no inclusive education. Inclusive education, iti umntana ko disabled, msekwisikolo ayohlala nabanye abantwana abangekho disabled. And lamntana funeke abonelelwe. Utishara wazibonelela abantwana by 5 ba disabled ba amongst abantwana by 40 who are not having disabilities. And the disabilities, we know they have different categorization. So that inclusiveness policy only works for schools that are well-resourced and running already. The schools, the quintiles, the lower quintile schools, they will still need a skill for one remedial teacher to come through, let alone that it will be addressing as many skills that are needed by abantwana bethu abakhubazekileyo. So when we get to that substantiveness, you will see why the gaps that Honorable Bengu was talking about, that even the wages that our women have, especially African women, they still have to, by tsokutezele mali banayo, to also look after the disabled child's education needs and health, and still look after the children without disabilities, education and health. And I can tell you, my sister has a disabled child. She uses double the amount with that child than the other three children that are normal. So access is an important factor. If we have to alleviate unpaid work from women, then there are so many things that we need to talk about, just looking at using our gender lens. So thank you, Honorable Bengu. It is a struggle that we still need to wage it. And as much as it's not sitting on our mandate, we are trying to do the little bit just to highlight that this area is so underdeveloped and it's not looked after. Thank you very much. I think we will be looking. The problem that we've had with the Gender Commission since 2012, and when you wanted us in there, and I think that we appreciate that. We just want you to also appreciate from your side that it is progressive for us to subpoena people or to fight with them on litigation, because just on doing the legal hearings on another case, you find that the person. When you are asking them just on the basis of the question, they don't understand even the department, government department. So you have to explain sexual harassment. You're supposed to have a police. So they ask you, what is sexual harassment? Can you come and help us? The municipalities themselves, they come back after we have subpoenaed them to appear in front of us. What do we need a policy? Your pata pata. Everybody, universities, the vice rectors, they are saying us, everyone who's here are honorable, they should be knowing a pata pata. So, all I'm trying to say is we need to scale up non sexism and dealing with patriarchy. The Constitution agrees that we should do it. It should be unfashionable as racism.
Mm-hmm.
It's ranked there by the Constitution. So just in ending there, thank you very much for this robust discussion on our report. I know, Mama, before we also tabled a report some years back on police.
Mm-hmm.
We did, we called police.
Mm-hmm.
We know where women policemen sit in the levels of the policing system. They are actually the ones who jump and come to our houses when there's housebreaking. That's where they end. So
mm-hmm.
all specialization, ABBA, and other areas are male dominated,
mm-hmm.
and above that, those levels. So there's a lot. I appreciate our discussion because it means that we can also go back to those reports and just give you questions so that we can ask the relevant powers that this is areas that you still need to work at. On our side, the mining charter, we have not looked at the current debate. We have not looked at it, we must be honest. But just based on not even having a gender debate or gender transformation, then it is something that we can, as the committee, call on minerals to look at based on just the findings that we have on mining, that the mining charter should be giving us a sense what it is going to do around this. So,
the new mining charter actually increases the target to 60% black membership, and then 30% of them should be women, from 10% to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
So it increases the targets quite.
But they're fighting it.
They are.
So you can ask yourself just on this report whether that where they are moving from is being achieved and moving to the next one, who's going to be the beneficiaries of that. So,
maybe in future, as we are talking about the issue of education and equity, we agree that in our organization, we agree with the issue of mainstreaming education. There should be an inclusive education. But the problem with the inclusive education is the accessibility of schools open for children with disabilities. They don't have accessible toilets, accessible ramps to go to school, roads, transport to take to school. That is why mostly the disabled children are at home.
At home, yeah.
Maybe 90% or 90% of them are staying at home without any education. Because even if you want your child to go to a special school, the issue of education, you must take your child at an early age, as early as 4 years old, to go to the patient school. Because after the child has gone to 6 years old, then he won't be able to take the child to school.
Mm.
And the other thing is around the issue of reasonable accommodation. That is why the problem of an unemployment of people with disabilities is very high. Because the reasonable accommodation is when you employ a person with a disability, he or she must have a transport to go to work, must have accessibility at the workplace, must have accommodation, must have assistance. So when the employer sees all those things, find out that no, there's so much money that I have to put on to get a particular person, so therefore I won't be able to employ them. An issue of 2%, this 2% is not only for the private sector, even the public sector, the government is not even complying with even that 2%,
mm-hmm.
even in parliament.
Mm-hmm.
I have been here for 12 years now. I've only seen one person who's working in parliament, others not. Even the representation of disabled, which is worrying us now as members of parliament, is the representation of disabled members of parliament is going down. You know, from 23 in 2004, 2009, now it's going back to 6. And it's worrying. I don't know whether the CDP is able to look at those members. Thank you.
I wanted to help them. You know that I looked at the statistics of the Bazaars in my speech. All of them, all of the Bazaars from 2014, 2015, 2016, that's history. All of them are managerial because these people are sitting at junior management in which 20, they are sitting at junior management, middle management. So they are equipping them to be, I'm not sure if they're going to make them senior managers.
Pipeline.
Yeah. But I'm also talking about specialists. You know, in South Africa, it's said that we are 200 years mining. We don't have specialists on deep level mining. I'm not sure what are the other skills that are there in mining, but in South African chief, there are no South African specialists. That is why there was that problem where the container went down and it was not located. But if it was Australia or Chile, they would have found the container. So we seriously have special skills for mining. I don't know what are these engineering courses that they have. You need to tell us, so that our people are channeled to those skills. Because why they don't get there is because they don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
Take, for instance, Nigeria. They extract oil. But there's not one specialist to do it. With the refining that oil, they have to get people from outside. It's deliberate. It is deliberate. So we must have consistent efforts to channel our own resources. We talk about state capacitation. Why are we not forcing these mines to develop our own human? There's no need to get a specialist from outside. For instance, building a what is this? Boats around here, boats, ships. They get people from outside to come and build here. We don't have the skills. So it's skills that were deliberately not given to South African human resource. I mean, how can we be surpassed in terms of human resource by Mauritius, an island,
mm-hmm.
when we are bigger than an island?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see all the skills are deliberately not being given to our people. So these are the skills that we must talk about when we talk with this, because they have the money to equip our people.
they've got the money. So let us use that opportunity. I don't think we will have another opportunity maybe in another century. We don't have the luxury of time. So when you sit with these people, ask the correct questions. Help us to move South Africa forward in terms of human resource, and they must give all racial groups the chance to do this build. Let us not dilly dally about it. Please help us.